This doesn't sound like a very positive message, eh? These people, that's us, being destroyed. And I'll tell you where this message comes from. I was visiting my son and my daughter-in-law in Joburg, and she's a worship leader, and she was invited to lead the worship at a huge conference in Joburg. She came back home, and I said, how did it go? She said, well, but the only problem is the main speaker didn't speak. I said, why not? And she told me who he was, and I realized I knew him from my previous church. Very well-known American person, pastor. Mega church, written many books. And she said, Dad, because he fell. And then I said, did he break anything? And she said, is he hurt? She said, no, Dad, he didn't fall like that. He fell from grace. Oh, you know, and my heart sank because, you know, we have mentors in our life. We have people we look up to. And to tell me that that guy who I really put on a pedestal has fallen from grace hurt me. And I decided I'm going to give this message sometime. And today is the day. So although I'm going to speak about negative things for a short while, I have to do that to bring my main message through. So I hope you don't mind that I do that. And I think, Bernard, what you shared this morning about your own life is so fitting in so nicely. Even the worship, you know, of the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. Right. So the title of the message comes from this very well-known scripture in Isaiah 4, verse 6. I'll just read it for us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And you know, the two outstanding things in this scripture is my people forgotten my word. Because the law of God in the Old Testament is actually referring to the word of God. And I want to leave there, if I leave only one message this morning, is a strong Christian is a Christian who's built his house on the rock. We've heard that many times from Retief. What is that rock? It is the word of God. But not knowledge that puffs up, knowledge that changes us, reaches our hearts, knowledge that we obey. And then, you know, the storms can come and we will not fall. We will remain standing because God is for us. And God who is in us is greater than him that is in the world. Next. You know, when I was thinking of this lack of knowledge, what comes first into our mind is a lack of knowledge of God. And, of course, we read the word to gain knowledge of God, that he is on our side, that he's gained the victory on the cross, that he's for us. But you know what? There's also a lot in Scripture written about the enemy. Because we have an enemy. I always tell people and say, if Scripture says you overcome, then you must overcome something. And that's the enemy. And sometimes that is a bit neglected in our preaching, and we don't always, not that we should put much emphasis on him, but we must just speak the truth. And this enemy, the Word of God speaks about of a battlefield, about weapons, strategy. And I had a missionary friend who visited me from Thailand the last week, and he said, when I told him what I was going to talk about, he said, you know what's the two big things in Christians' lives about the devil? Either they deny his existence and they don't recognize his works in their life, or they ascribe everything to him. It's too dangerous. So we have to find the middle way. When is it him and when is it us? And when is it God using him for our benefit? Okay, next. So, Retief has spoken a lot here about the abundant life. Abundant life, by the way, is for this life, ne? And John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, John 10:10. But before Jesus speaks about abundant life, he speaks about the thief. And what does he steal? He steals our joy, our peace, our possessions. Yes, even our possessions. He kills our purposes of our lives, our dreams, our hope, and even kills people physically. And he destroys marriages, relationships, and he destroys ministries, as I've just said at the beginning. You know, when that pastor fell, it was a domino effect in the Christian world. You can go and Google it, but I mean, it's thousands of people being affected and the kingdom being robbed. So I'm not going to speak about evil in the bigger sense, in politics or in world, you know, what happens in the world and disasters. I mean, that's not for us. That's another hierarchy. I'm just going to speak about us as ordinary humans. Okay, next. I grew up with this poster because I'm from another generation than you. You are young. Sue, thank you, man. There's one person that recognizes this. There was hardly a home in my time when I was a child, my opa and oma's house, where this poster was not present, in die voorkamer. That poster depicts two things. It depicts the broad way and the narrow way. But why I'm showing this poster is to show you, and somebody prayed about that this morning in intercession, we all have a choice. God has made us with a will. We can decide. You prayed about that. Which way we want to go. He never forces us. Eh? That's part of who we are. We have choices. And there's a broad way and the narrow way. And when you look at the beginning of the broad way, it doesn't look bad at all. It looks very enticing because one of the names of the enemy is he's a deceiver. What he doesn't show you at the beginning is the end of that road, which is fire and death, guilt, shame, and all the things that go with that. And just the last thing about that poster is there are fewer people on the narrow way than on the broad way. You see that? Right. Okay. Next. So the enemy is the origin of all evil, sickness, chaos, and death. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver, as I've just said. And after he's done all those things with you, he accuses you. He is the accuser. Now I must just say one last thing about him, and that is, Rihanna actually said I should say that. Not everything that's bad is always his fault, because we have a will. We have a broken, fallen nature, but we all also have a will. Not every person who dies before his time, you know, has sin in his life, personal sin. If that was the case, why did John the Baptist, why was he beheaded? And why was Stephen stoned? No, we are not there to judge when that happens, because, and the other thing is, not every bad thing that happens in other people's lives is due to personal sin. We can't judge for other people, but we can judge for ourselves. So when a bad thing happens to me in the areas that I've just mentioned, you know what I do? I humble myself before the Lord, and I say, Lord, why did this happen to me? And you know, sometimes it's just part of the fallen nature why we get sick or we're depressed or whatever. Not everything is personal sin. But sometimes, the Holy Spirit is so faithful, He shows you that there was a door open. And He shows you where the enemy came in. And the wonderful thing is, when that happens, we can confess. And we can get it out of the way. So I just want to give that perspective, the right. And you can see what I'm sharing today, a lot of it is for my own life. Of course, it's scripture being applied to my life. But a lot of what I'm sharing today is from what I learned in my own life. Right, next one. So, I would just like to get this out of the way. Where does temptation comes from? So, some Christians say, yes, but the Holy Spirit, not some Christians, all Christians say, the Holy Spirit led Jesus out in the desert to be tempted. And we pray the Our Father prayer that God shall deliver us from temptation, almost as if God is the one who tempts. No, He doesn't. Scripture says in James 1, let no one when he's tempted say, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. It's only the evil one that can tempt, but God can use him and determine to what degree you are tempted. And that's why we have to pray, please deliver me from evil. And we must pray that over our children and our grandchildren every day. And then another wonderful thing about temptation is, as long as you are in the circle of God's plan for your life, and I'm going to tell you in a moment what that is, I call it the circle of God's protection, the circle of God's blessing. No temptation can come over you that is stronger than you can bear. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So that's an encouragement this morning. God is for us, even when we're tempted. You know, Martin Luther apparently said the enemy is like a dog on a leash, and God is controlling what he allows him to do in your life and my life. Right. Now, the next one is a favorite topic of mine. Can the enemy serve God's purposes in our lives? Of course it can. Of course it can. God allows things in our lives, trials, and we just read that in James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God can use trials and bad things in our lives for his purposes, to make us what he wants us to become. Yeah, who said amen? I like that. Please, amen. And you know, one of my favorite people in the scripture, I've actually gave a message on him, is Joseph. Oh, just see what Joseph said, that man of God. He said in Genesis 50:20, when his brothers were afraid of him after their father died, he said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. You know, without the brothers selling David to the Egyptians, there wouldn't have been food for millions of people. So Joseph had the insight to realize that it was God working in his brothers' lives. And then a scripture that you all know is Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, sometimes we think of that scripture as only the good things. No. Everything. Every hurt you've been through, Bernard, that you spoke about. Every crushing that we all endured through the years and even this morning. Everything God can turn around and use for our good, because he is God. Amen. Right. Now, I love this. You know, Dani, my friend, the missionary from Thailand, when he spoke about this, he said, you know, Johan, we are like submarines. A submarine is supposed to be under the water. The Lord said we are in the world, but not of the world. So we are underwater. And we live in a world that's not always for us, as we all know. But he said, the main purpose of the submarine is to keep the water out. He says the moment water comes into the submarine, it loses its purpose and it will sink. So that's one way of seeing it. I like to see it as a circle that the Lord draws around us, a circle of blessing and a circle of protection. And he's given us very clear borders in the scripture of what the borders of that circle is. And I'm going to share 8 of them with you. But I promise you, I can't preach anyway. My messages are not long. So I won't keep you here 1 minute longer than you should. But I must tell you these borders because they are powerful. And the first one is to stay connected to God. You know, Psalm 91 says, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can any enemy come near you in the shadow of the Almighty? The answer is no. You are so safe, I tell you, so safe, in the shadow of the Almighty. Second thing, stay connected to God's people. You know, when we say people should attend small group and church, it's not only to fill up the chairs. I love this scripture, Proverbs 24:6. Don't go to war without wise guidance. There is safety in many counselors. You know, when we are amongst God's people, and that scripture also says we're in a war. Did you see that? We are in a war daily. But when we are amongst God's people, we are surrounded by wise counselors all the time. And sometimes we even don't even know, which is a good thing, that we are giving good advice. Isn't that so, Karen? But that is the safest place to be, is amongst God's people. So don't separate yourself ever from God's people. You know, I know people like that who say they're Christians, but they're Christians by themselves. I tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. The third thing is, be careful what you sow. I can say that because I'm a gardener. I know when you sow beans, you won't reap watermelons. Scripture says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. You know, the enemy wants to tell you can sow beans and you'll harvest watermelons. That's deception. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. What we will reap is directly connected by what we sow every day. And that is to do with our thoughts, with our words, and also our actions. And then be careful how you walk. Galatians 6:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, my previous pastor is old man, even, yeah, he's 10 years older than me. He always tells a story. He said, when he preaches, he says, why would Christians go to the end, to the, you know, there's a deep crevice and there's a little wall, but they want to go and just have a peep over the wall. He says, why? He says, the wall may crumble and the earth may give way under you. Why do you want to go near something that you know can harm you or even destroy you? Right, the next one. Guard your thoughts. One of the main entry points of the enemy into our lives is our thought life. That is why Joyce Meyer wrote the book, Battlefield of the Mind. That is where the battle often starts, and that is where the battle is won or lost. But you know what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we have the authority to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the moment you notice, well, here's a thought that's definitely not from God, you can just get hold of it and cast it out. This does not belong to this person. Guard over your joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, a joyful Christian is strong. But the Christian who's lost his joy is in a dangerous spot. And we all lose it at sometimes. I'll come to that in a moment. I'm not standing here as Mr. Perfect, who always does this all the time. I'll tell you in a moment that that's definitely not the case. Go low and stay low. And we've had a lot of that being preached here. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Doesn't that sound like the abundant life? Riches, honor, and a long life. But that's connected to humility. Now I'm going to share a short testimony with you. Last week, there was an area, I'll come to spiritual warfare in a moment, where I really waged war with the enemy about something that happened in our family. It's very personal. I can't share what it was. But I tell you, when I do that, Rihanna must not be in the house. All the doors must be locked. And I hope the neighbors are all on holiday. So I was fighting fit when I, later the afternoon, confronted the situation in the natural. And then a person opposed what I have dealt with the Lord. And I gave him a cold shoulder. Now, you don't know me. You think I'm very nice. Let me tell you, you don't want to see my cold shoulder. It is not a nice thing to see. George, you won't believe it. Ask some of my students. There's one of them here this morning. And then we got a message, a WhatsApp. I've given this person a cold shoulder. And you know what? The moment I got into the car and left the house, I knew I did it. So I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And we had a small group that night. So the Holy Spirit says, deal with this before you have small group tonight. You can't have small group with that in your heart. So I had to eat humble pie. I had to write back a WhatsApp to this person and say, I'm sorry. And then I thought, I'll say, if perhaps I gave you a cold shoulder. The Lord said, no. You know very well you did give him a cold shoulder. Not perhaps. Right? I am so sorry I gave you. You see what I'm talking about? And you know, I want to tell you today, in so many relationships and marriages, that is the most powerful word that you can say. I am so sorry. It's a hard word to say because you humble yourself. But you know what? We've already seen a harvest of my action. There's already an openness that hasn't been there. So I just encourage you, that is a very, you actually hit the enemy on the nose every time you humble yourself. Every time. Right, and the word says in James 4:7, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So don't play games with him. You know, I'll be very honest with you, there are certain programs on television which Rana and myself don't watch. We have the full DSTV, we can watch them all. There's a lot of things now, occult things now on TV. Almost like an angel of light. You know, I'm not seeing the devil after every bush, but when it comes to occult and calling up and talking to dead people and things like that, I just refuse to watch that. I just don't watch it. Because we must flee from certain things, and we just flee from that. Okay. Right. Now, I want to come now to spiritual warfare, but before we come to that, I want to give you some very sound advice this morning as an elder, you know. I'm not only an elder, I'm older than you. Don't try to do spiritual warfare if you're not in the circle of God's protection. You hear what I'm saying? You can't have one foot in the enemy's camp and then try to fight him. You will lose in a big way. But, Johan, have you never been out of God's circle? Of course, every day of my life, in many of these areas. But what do I do to get back? Confess. Confession. Confession is the way that we are restored. We quickly jump back into the circle of God's protection. And you know what I want to tell you today? Confession puts a safety net under you. The moment you confess, you release the grace of God in your life. And you will fall, because we all fall. But you won't fall right through that net to the bottom. There's a safety net that God puts there to catch you. And that name of that safety net is confession. You know, there's even Christians nowadays that say you're righteous with God. You don't have to do that. I don't know whether you know that. It's big deception. Right. So, I'll be quick about the spiritual warfare. I'll be honest with you, it's not something I do every day. Perhaps I should do it more. But there are definite times when I know this situation needs more than a little prayer. I have to really confront the enemy. So, how do we do that? First of all, we must know the real enemy. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a hierarchy of evil. And we can't confront, you know, there. We must stay at the level that we can fight, where God has intended us to fight. But we must fight the right enemy. And often the enemy is not your wife or your husband. your boss at work, the person that gives you a hard time at work, they are just being used by the enemy. So, but ask the Lord to show you who the real enemy is. You know, I watched the first episode of Survivor, the new series this week. And if you want to see an example of how to fight in the flesh, you must watch Survivor. But you know what? The name of the program is Survivor, not More Than Overcomer. You hear what they say? We are not survivors. A survivor just hangs there at the tip of his fingers. We are more than overcomers because we fight spiritual battles, not in the flesh. Next one. I've decided I'm not going to speak about the armor of God this morning because Retief has done that a lot. I just want to say one thing about the Word of God. Two things, actually, and I'm going to read the scripture with you from the Message, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. There is nothing like the written Word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped for the tasks God has for us. You know what? We can't miss out a single day without getting the Word of God into our lives. We just can't afford it. Because the enemy is darkness, the Word of God is light. The enemy is lies, the Word of God is truth. You hear what I say? You actually oppose darkness and lies by the Word of God. But then you must know the sword, which is the Word of God. You must know how to hold it, how to handle it, how to wield it, because that is what Jesus did when he was led into the desert. The Son of God overcame the enemy by the Word of God. I love, this is especially for the young men in church, the next scripture, 1 John 2:14. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. George, you see the main words there? Young man, that's you, eh? Strong. Why? Word of God. And overcome the wicked one. These words are totally, absolutely connected. Right. The next one is prayer. And the Lord said himself, we must pray every day. You know, Rihanna and myself, we pray for our children and grandchildren every day, ourselves. Said, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Jesus said we should do that, so we do that. And there's a powerful thing to pray in the Spirit. You know, that night, when we were on the plane and we got the message over the intercom that we must prepare for emergency landing, I've shared it with many of you. We were on a flight over Central Africa. I mean, what do? I just started praying in the Spirit. That Rihanna said, what did you do? She didn't see me doing anything. I just prayed in the Spirit. And 10 minutes later, whatever it was gone, and we landed safely. So there's power. Sometimes we have to pray in the Spirit as we enter situations and we see the enemy at work. But we don't do it loudly and give everybody a fright. You just do it softly inside and you just start praying in the Spirit. And one of my favorite verses, the next one is Romans 10:13 that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, did you know that if you just utter that name, Jesus, with power and faith inside of you, the enemy flees? Of course, because Jesus won the victory at the cross. So he knows Jesus very well. So many people saw strangers in the house and wanted to rob them. And they couldn't pray at the moment. There's no time for praying. Not even praying in the Spirit. Say, Jesus. And the next moment, people, the arms just fall out of the hands and they just leave. I've had episodes in my life on two occasions where the enemy wanted to take my life, where I was saved by one word. Jesus. So I can speak about that today. And we must never underestimate the power in that name. We sing about it a lot. We sing here about the power of the name of Jesus. But I tell you, that's a powerful weapon. Right. You know, this is an area where many Christians, including myself, fail. because we forget that all authority has been given to Jesus. And it says there in heaven and earth, which includes the heavenlies and evil, all authority. And then he says in Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you the authority to overcome the power of the enemy. We have authority to come against the enemy. When we see situations in our lives, in our children's lives, in families, in your work situation, we can use that authority. And the way we do it is by binding and releasing. We bind, what Jesus says, what we bind on earth shall be bound in the heavenlies. What we loosen on earth shall be loosened in the heavenlies. So I want to encourage you as brothers and sisters and fellow Christians to use that. And you know, when do you know it's you have to take up authority? Well, I'll tell you a very simple thing. We recently had Wi-Fi installed in our house. It took us 3 months, 25 phone calls. I don't know how many people's advice, and after 3 months, we were still not connected. So one night, I shared this at intercession, and we took authority over that thing. The next day, Chris visited me for coffee, and he connected me. So it was definitely the enemy, simple thing, but trying to steal my joy, make me cross, you know, whatever, to get me in a place where I'm not strong. So recognize the enemy and take authority over things that you need to take authority over. You know, I must just mention this. I'm not going to read all of this, but the Word of God says in Revelation 12, 11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I just want to read this word of our testimony because it really gave me new insight into this. I always thought that when you give your testimony, you overcome. But just hear what it says. It says, by the use they made of the scriptures of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to which they bore a faithful testimony and to which they adhered, and by so doing gained the victory over Satan and his instruments, whether false teachers or persecutors. What it means, that word of our testimony, it means when we stand here in front and we give a testimony of how God changed situations and we connect it to the word of God, especially if we use the sword of the Spirit to get that victory, it says we overcome. It makes sense, eh? So we overcome. It's not our testimony that's the thing. It's actually connecting the word of God to our testimony and showing how the word of God has come through for us. Right, I just want to end off. You know, I said that the abundant life is for this world. But, you know, Jesus made, in Revelation, amazing promises for the Christian who overcomes. And my wish this morning is that each one of us here will walk out here today with the one desire, and that is to be an overcomer. Because Jesus says in Revelation 2, 7, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. You know, that's a tree of which Adam and Eve were not allowed to eat. We can just thank God for that. Otherwise, we would have been in sin for the rest of our bondage, the rest of our lives. But Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will give you some of the fruit of that tree, which is eternal life. He also says in Revelation 2:11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The second death, we all know what that is. We have a first death, and then we're with God. If you are an overcomer, if you're not, the second death is the eternal fire. The third thing he says is, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Isn't that something to look forward to? To be in the presence of Jesus and to get a white stone with a new name. I always wonder what my name will be, but we don't know. But we know it'll be good. He will not give us bad names, it'll be good names. And then the last thing is, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So I, when I read this, I wondered whether that name that you will confess, whether it's a new name or the old name. I think it's a new name. The ne. Karen says yes. The new name that he gives us when we get there, he will confess that name. And that name will be connected to our lives and to the fact that we overcame in this world. So the long and the short of it is, we are in the water. We are in a battle. We don't have to be afraid if we follow certain clear guidelines from the Word of God and if we use the weapons that the Lord has given us to overcome. And each one of us is in God's heart. His desire for us is to be overcomers. I will just want to end with this. This is an amazing promise from God in 2 Timothy 4:18. Which says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now I also say amen, because that's my prayer for me and for each of us. Can I just pray? Lord, we just want to thank you for this morning. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you that you've gained the victory at the cross. Thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given you. And thank you, Lord, that we've given, that you've given that authority to us. Lord, in this morning, we just ask that as we receive this word, it will grow in us, Lord. It will bear fruit, Lord, and we will be overcomers. Lord, my prayer for everyone in this church this morning, including myself, is that we will be overcomers and we will be able, Lord, one day in your presence to receive that which you give to each one who overcomes. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.